It's the restorative time that makes us well for the day. What, someone say something else? Balanced diet. Oh, you guys, we're just on the same page. We've all heard it, haven't we? And if there's a PowerPoint, I found my little magic plate of what it's great to have every day on your magic plate. If you had to divide it into thirds, what food groups would you put on your plate to have a well-balanced diet? And don't say like chocolate and grass or something to kind of balance it. Just like, what are the three things? Carbs, you need to have a third carbs on your plate, a third protein, brilliant, and a third, like vegetables, maybe fruit, vitamins and minerals. Brilliant. And what is, so they've got three pillars of health. The first one is sleep, the second one is nutrition, and the third one is exercise. And what is the recommended daily allowance? About 30 minutes every day. Is that amazing? Five times a week. Yeah. Bit of a Sabbath rest there. Phew. Hands up, who like just knows that? Just knows that. Not whether you do it, you just know it. It's really good. That's like education right there, isn't it? We didn't know that like about 5 years ago, did we? Well, I didn't. Hands up, who does that? Brilliant. That's where the gospel comes in. Gives us the power to do what we can't do for ourselves, even though we know it'll bring us life, not kill us. Anyway, I love a bit of a spiritual analogy. Have we got any? I just really love my magic plate picture. It actually had a hockey player's plate under it. I was like, that's so random. Why a hockey player? But anyway, Chris didn't think it was good to have it in, so we took the hockey player bit out. But when you see the magic plate, think of all those hockey players that might enjoy it. Anyway, we all see those as pictures of spiritual health. So the first thing, I really think if we put the physical stuff into our life, we will become not only physically better, but mentally we'll have more well-being and so on. I think those are critical because we're body, mind, soul and spirit. Oh my gosh, the magic plate. So we can go back one to sleep. Sleep. So these are our recommended hours of sleep. Anyone, Mike and Emma, how's it going for you over there? Do you feel you're like ticking the toddler box? As I say, highly restorative. You go for a certain, like only 72 hours without sleep and you actually die or something. And I think that is a great spiritual analogy for spiritually how we work as well. So if we could go to the next slide. We also spiritually, emotionally, for our health and well-being, we need to operate out of a place of rest, primarily, before the other things. So, and there's loads of this stuff about peace, the peace of God guiding you, all the way through scripture. But I've just taken some beautiful expressions of Jesus here. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for my souls. He is our rabbi, our teacher. We are his followers. We're his disciples. And if we come to him, we can actually learn how to do life really well. He always operated from a place of rest, from intimacy with his Father, and clarity as to how to do each day well. And he guarantees when we follow him and learn from him, we find rest. And I love Eugene Peterson, the Message paraphrase, one of my favorite phrases of all time. And I live by this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Just as a sort of rhythm in the way the planets go around the sun and the seasons come and go and so on. There's a rhythm that God has for our life, which is unforced and sustainable and fruitful. And then in Hebrews, a brilliant book looking at the Jewish roots and then how it works for us today. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So that we have, we'll come to it in a minute, we've entered into a way of life which is restful. So we do actually have a Sabbath, Chris and I, but that isn't the thing. The thing is we just enter into rest at last. At last, we just breathe and can enjoy life because we've come back home into the Father's arms. We can rest in the Father's love and enjoy our life. That's what distinguishes us from people who don't know God. And that if anyone here hasn't had a personal relationship with Jesus, that's what he invites us into primarily. He just invites you to rest at last get rid of all that existential struggle of the disconnected human condition and just come home into his arms and rest. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works of striving, of ambition, of trying to prove themselves. Just get that significance somewhere else, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. He talks about the two people of God under Moses. Out of fear and unbelief, they never entered the rest. They just wandered in self-pity and complaining all their lives. But then there was a people under Joshua who overcame and entered into the rest by faith. Does that make sense? So we operate out of rest. And if we're not at rest, whatever we're doing, we need to just step back. Like, even if we're like in the office, it's really stressful. Just go to the loo, do something, step out and recover rest. Just recover it. Okay, so that's sleep. Physically, we need to operate out of a good, decent night's sleep. Spiritually, we need to operate out of rest. Number two, nutrition, the hockey player's plate, for all those hockey players out there. Obviously, it's more abundant than that, and it includes water as well, 2 litres of water. I'll come to that, though, on the next one. So I see starch, I see carbs as like corporate worship. You get your spiritual high, it's really energising. There's a kind of, it just kind of gets you back on track pretty quickly, doesn't it? It's quite, you kind of enter into worship and you're back there under the covenant of God. However, there's a peak and then there's a dip if we're not in the protein. I see the protein as harder, requires more chewing, the word of God, but sustains us in the trials. Does that make sense? So we need both. If you just had the word and no power and presence and joy and actual reality, real encounter with God, it would be just really hard work. If we have all the carbs of the spiritual highs, but no protein, we find it harder to walk through trials. When our faith is tested on Monday morning or Wednesday morning or Friday evening, whenever it is, where our weak points are, we need the word of God. We need protein. It takes longer to digest, but it sustains us. And then I see the vegetables and fruit as community. This is where it's worked out. In fact, John is really strict on this. He says, if you claim to love me but don't love your brother or sister, that is anyone who calls himself a Christian. If you're not overwhelmed with extraordinary dynamic love for them, you're a liar, and that's a place of darkness in your life. Everything we claim to be is mediated through actually how we treat each other. And I think Duncan had a real sense of that this morning, of if it's not love, it's a clanging cymbal. If we don't feel the love, then we're not whole, and we won't be spiritually fit. In fact, when their sailing ships in the old days could only have long-term, they could only have like protein and carb products, and they would get a disease. Does anyone remember what it's called? Scurvy. Actually died because they didn't have fruit and vegetables. So those funny little things on your plate that you think, do they do anything? And you go to your child, have that pea, because that pea will make you like Superman. I don't know how, but somehow there's something in that pea. Apparently it works over time. If you have your fruit and vegetables, physically you're fitter. If you have community, spiritually you're fitter. I would say all of these, the carbs and the protein, all in community, at least twice a week. Okay, so this is a magic plate you can do 2 or 3 times a day for physical food. I'd say if you can find community where you do corporate worship, could be in your 4, in the word together, it could be something like prayer day here on a Tuesday, there are so many resources where you can find some other people and get in the word twice a week, Sundays and another time, and get in worship Sundays and another time, you will build yourself spiritually. Ideally, probably it's every day. That's why people talk about places where it's like a hothouse. I think it's just probably the normal design. But for the moment, let's just aim for twice a week for corporate worship, corporate word, and actually loving people in community. Brilliant. Let's go. What's number 3? The third way we get physically fit. Can we go to the next one? Oh yeah, sorry. That was that's the biblical quote. So Jesus says, he quotes Moses, we can't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. So our spiritual food comes from the prophetic, can be released in worship, directly through scripture and one another as we prophesy over one another in community. That's where we're built up in our inner man. Last week I talked specifically about reading the Bible. But this, I think, any revelation word of God, any prophetic word that's released is the thing that brings us life. And they're primarily released through scripture, through worship, and through community prophesying over each other. Brilliant. So number three, can we go to the next one? Adults need 150 minutes of heart pumping physical activity per week. I love how people now, like, they don't use the word exercise, they say movement. It's movement. Because exercise is like this dirty word. So now we just got to move a lot in 30 minutes, five times a week. And then they're like, research shows that even short 10-minute bouts of physical activity are associated. Like, if you can't handle the 30-minute movement, just 10 minutes, just anything, it'll get you there. Now, and this is critical to our spiritual health and well-being. We can rest. We can always be at rest with God. We can have our community, our worship, and our word. But if we don't do this thing, I actually believe we not only stagnate spiritually, we regress and even let bitterness and actually dysfunction come in. It is the acts of faith. It's the works of faith. We've heard the revelation word of God. We step out. So can we go to the next slide? So say I'm in worship and I feel God says, just give that bunch of money away. The life, the health, the fitness comes from doing it, not just hearing it, but doing it. Or he says, go and reconcile with that person. You've got unforgiveness between them. The life doesn't come from hearing the word, but doing it. Does that make sense? That overcoming we're required to do every single day, just like pretty much every day we're designed to do physical exercise. Spiritually, we're designed to hear a revelation word from God and do it. And this is brilliant in James. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Hearing it doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. What makes it forged in you, the word becoming flesh in you, is forgiving, is being generous, is being compassionate, is selling everything and giving to the poor, is doing whatever it is that he's brought to you in that revelation moment. That's where the fitness is. That's where we're torn. Our muscles are torn and then rebuilt and we become spiritually strong. I don't know anyone who is spiritually fit and fruitful who isn't living, actively living by faith and then putting into practice what they're hearing. It's very personal. Everyone's journey's different. But you can tell the people who, for them, they're going, yep, I'm hearing this and I'm doing it. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, that's funny, and after looking at it himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So we think we're reading the Bible, but actually you find very quickly it reads you, and this is a mirror to the human condition. And when we ignore the revelation word from God, hear me on this, this is quite a complicated thought process, and we don't do it, we don't become who we really are. Does that make sense? So we are broken, disconnected. We read our human condition here. We hear this revelation word going, be generous. If we don't do that, we don't become the generous person we're actually designed to be. Does that make sense? So we forget who we really are. So that finding out who we really are and embodying it happens in the action, not in the hearing. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law, the Torah, the instruction that gives freedom, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. The favor, the breakthrough, the fruit, the transformation comes in the action, in how we actually live our lives, what our actual habits are. So if we go to the next slide, and I think this one really sums up all three together. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. We had this read at our wedding because I liked the idea of it, but I didn't understand it. And now I can say about 14 years on, I think I'm getting what Jesus is talking about. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So that's the rest. We just rest in his love. We just remain in it. He's the vine. We're in the vine. We can just enjoy that place of abiding. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. How do we remain in that place of rest? We hear the revelation word of God, his particular instruction for us, and keep them. Does that make sense? Then we keep in that place of rest. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And joy is a sign of spiritual fitness. When we said, I know that I can become an angry or a joyful and peaceful version of myself. I know that, and this is how I get to the spiritual health, which looks like joy and peace rather than sadness and anger. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you, mediated in community. So I'm going to pray now. Lord, I thank you that you give us, you show us exactly how to be spiritually fit. There are no excuses. You've given us all the resources we need. We need to operate from a place of rest at all times. We need to have, connect and engage and fight for corporate worship and corporate times in the Word and loving each other in community, including releasing the prophetic. That's our food. It's hearing you in community. And then our exercise is when we hear that revelation word doing it. That's where the blessing and the breakthrough and the fruit come. And so I bless us all in that. I pray that we enter into your rest and remain in your love. And we manifest joy as a sign of a spiritually fit and healthy church. Amen.